Morning, if you'll open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19 for our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Revelation chapter 19. After these things I heard a loud voice and a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Or Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power and belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again say, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you, His servants, and those who fear Him, both great, small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has it on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, this morning for this day that you have set aside for us to come. May your name be praised and worshipped this morning. Through the power of your Spirit, which we pray you send with us, send to be with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, what I want to do, the hymn, the last hymn we sang was a wonderful hymn. And I want to look at it again when we're finished up here this morning at the words. But I've been studying over the last few weeks. I've actually been going through Hebrews, working through Hebrews for quite some time, going through that, and I'm thinking, a month ago when I was asked to come, I'll just share. We'll go into Hebrews some and share, but and if you read through Hebrews, you're reading all of Jesus. All of Jesus Christ. All of who He is. The High Priest. And you get a understanding of how wonderful our salvation is and how Jesus Christ has done everything. And He does everything. And He sustains us and He keeps us. And it's got me to to studying around, and for the last several weeks, all I've been thinking of is the love and power of Jesus Christ. So I want to bring this morning to you and focus specifically on the power of Jesus Christ. And I was studying and reading through, I read through a very a passage of Scripture that we read through many times. And I read through this one again, and a part of the Scripture just jumped out at me like it never has before. I know that's happened to you too. It's amazing how the Word of God is. As we go in and we read the Word and we see a phrase that just jumps out at us that we've never really stopped and just meditated on before. So I want to take several sections of Scripture and look at these sections of Scripture and meditate upon some specific things of Jesus Christ, His love, and His power. So our aim, a great aim this morning, is to understand and to get a passionate love for the total sovereign authority of Jesus Christ and that authority that He has over His world and over His mission and how that gives us hope. And it's wonderful to see all the seats. I see heads are just barely up above some of the seats on some of the little ones here. And it's a wonderful thing. You've been greatly, greatly blessed. And all these little ones, young men, young ladies, little girls, little boys, as you grow up in the future, we know that Jesus is in control of the future. And we have hope in Him. Now, I want y'all to listen to and hear that. Hear that it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that saves. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is why we can face tomorrow. Because we know He holds the future. And He takes care of the future. And He will sustain the future as He sustains today. As He's sustained the past. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Read a passage that I'm sure that many of you read many, many times, because it's a commission that we've been given. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open your Word to speak of something that we do not have adequate words for, is the love that you have shown us and the power, Lord, that you hold to uphold us. God, we ask that your Spirit would be upon us to be able to open our hearts and minds to your Word, to loose my tongue, Lord, to speak your words from your Word. We desire these things, God. We ask that you come among us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading Matthew 28, I think I was at work, sitting down. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I want to look at that. I want us to meditate upon that. To know that we have a Savior who has been given all power over heaven and over earth. Let's begin with the beginning. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, has always existed. As a matter of fact, He was the Creator. We read John chapter 1, 1 through 3. This is the power of the Creator. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We have the power of a Creator who would be known as Jesus Christ, be born of a woman, the Son of God. But here we have the Creator who has always existed, the power of creation. This is the power that He had from the beginning. But not only the power of a Creator that He had before He came to this earth, the power of sustaining that creation. It's amazing to me in Mark chapter 4. You think about, if only I could have been in some of those shoes of the disciples when some of these things were going on, when they experienced this with Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, we get a glimpse of that power of creation, the power over creation, in Mark 4, 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou that we perish? He arose. I mean, I get the picture here, you know. It's not, settle down, settle down. He just gets up. He arose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Three words. It didn't take that many words to create the sea. Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was great calm. And that was it. That is our Savior. That is Jesus. That is His power. He had that power then. He has that power now. He will have that power. That is our Savior. And they said to Him, He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How many times in my life do I think that, you know? When something little is really in comparison to everything that's going on in this world is going on in my life, and I'm thinking, why are you so fearful? We have a Savior that by His Word can control nature. That is the power of the man we worship. That is the power of the God we worship. How is it that we have so little faith? He's the Creator. He's the powerful Creator, the second person of the Trinity. He is the power of the sustainer of the creation, the second person of the Trinity. He is the power of a sovereign ruler. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise, knowledge unto them that know understanding. He removes kings, He sets up kings. To know that we worship the King of Kings, who controls kings. Kings of foreign lands, kings of our land. He controls them. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turns it whithersoever He will. Do we believe that? Of course we do. The Bible tells us. That is our Lord. That is the control. That is the power that He has over His creation. He created it. He controls it. He controls those who are in charge of it. There's nothing that comes out from under His sovereign rule and His sovereign power. This is the Jesus who saved us. Not only does He have power of creation, the power over the creation, the power over the rulers, He has the power over Satan. Let's begin with Job. We know the story of Job. Satan comes in. He's in the council here. He says, "Have you considered Job to the Lord?" And the Lord says, "Consider Job. If you would take this away from him, because you're protecting him, I can't do anything. You're in control of all of this. I can't touch him." The Lord says, "You can have what he has. Just don't touch his body." And he goes. But it's only because he allowed him to touch Job. And that's why we have this story in the Scripture, to encourage us and to know that we do have a ruler that is sovereign even over Satan, the highest of evil that we know. He is in control. We have no fear. That's what our song said. And that's why. Because we know he has the future. Satan does not. We have, many of times we hear confusion when things happen, when things set in, when sickness set in. You know, Satan just does this. Satan cannot do anything. The Lord works with his children. And as Job says, he gives you increase and you praise him in an increase. And as Job says, in tribulation, you praise him in tribulation. Because you know he is in control. And he does nothing to his children that is not for their good. It's easy to say here. I know there's situations, there's circumstances. That's hard to understand. It's hard to understand the mind of a Savior, a mind of God that is like this, that controls all things and everything. He has the power of creation, the power as the sustainer, the power of a sovereign ruler, the power even over Satan. Acts 10:38. They speak of Jesus. They say, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth," pointing out the man, "anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power." Power. "Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So he went to them and he says, "The devil has done this. I'll reverse it and do this. Because that is how I do that with my power." That's the power that God has given. The power to change any circumstance. And many of you may have heard, I believe it was Ben Gardner who said, if God decides an axe head needs to float, it'll float. If God decides a donkey needs to talk, it'll talk. So who are we to try to reason and figure out in our own finite minds who God is and what He can and cannot do? He is sovereign. Back to our text. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Something jumps out at me here. As this power is given. To be given a power means the power has been given from someone, and it's a power that he had not had before, because it was given here. So, why is that? First, who gave him the power? The power is of the Father, because the Father is the Father who has all power, of all power. John 3:35 says, "The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand." The Father gives. The power that Jesus has is given of the Father. So what power is this now? We have read all of this power of Jesus up to this point. This is power that he has had from the beginning and will have in the future. It's all power that he has had. So what has been given? What does he not have that he's been given now? Is the question. So let's think about this. What power had he not already had that the Father would have given him at this time, the second person of the Trinity? And it was because that second person of the Trinity had been united with the flesh of man, had gone to the cross, had paid the price for sinful man, that man might be restored to God and live. Now, he says, this power has been given unto me in all heaven, in all earth, to save man. And this was salvation embodied in this one sentence of all power. And I am convinced, if we meditate upon this and how the power of Jesus cannot be overcome by anything, how we could live lives free in the power of Jesus Christ. Not our own. But we can truly say what the song has taught us, that we can live for tomorrow, knowing what He has accomplished, knowing this awesome power that God the Father has given Him when He in His flesh would come in that great covenant that was made before time to come to redeem man. And now that has happened. He has been obedient unto death. So that He died, He come to life, and He lives today for us forever. As those who come to Him and believe in Him have been drawn to Him and come to Him in faith and repentance will live forever with Him. Because He has accomplished that. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? To think, we who are destitute, without hope in the world, and then the great but God changed all of that with Jesus Christ. The power is given by the Father for the salvation, sustaining and delivering His people to whom, of whom, He will lose not a one. He will not lose one. The power to restore a sinful creature who is doomed for hell to their God once again. This is the power that has been given to our Savior Jesus Christ. I want to read something that J.C. Ryle had written on his notes, expository thoughts on the gospel here in Matthew. He says, "Let us embrace this truth reverently." Speaking of this power, and cling to it firmly. Christ is He who has the keys of death and hell. Christ is the anointed priest who alone can absolve sinners. Christ is the fountain of living waters in whom alone we can be cleansed. Christ is the Prince and Savior who alone can give repentance and remission of sins. In Him all fullness dwells. He is the way, the door, the light, the life, the shepherd, the altar of refuge. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. May we all strive to understand this. No doubt men may easily think too little of God the Father and God the Spirit, but no man ever thought too much of Christ. Indeed, we never have fathomed the worth of Jesus Christ. We just can't fathom. And all the children that we have here, and the young ladies and young men, and the future that is to come, Christ is your strength. Christ is your hope. Cling to Him. We must cling to Him. So this power, let's talk of this power now that's been given to Christ. Now, the man, 100% man, 100% God. He has come. He has given His life. He has laid down His life, been obedient to the death of the cross, so that those who would be His might live forever. What power does He have? Jesus Christ has the power over the dominion of sin. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Probably know this one. I'll leave you time to turn. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is because of this that Jesus has dominion over sin. We who have no hope, who are destitute and sin, in sin, lost in sin, with no hope, turned around because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who has paid the sin debt for us. And because our sin was given to Him on the cross when He died for those sins specifically, we could be seen as righteous. So that now we lift up to Jesus, our Savior God, for the work that He has done. The work is complete. The work is done. We are free from the bondage of sin. We're not in bondage to that sin anymore. We still struggle with that flesh. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle with the sin. We still sin. We go to Christ. We flee to Christ. We know that Christ has paid for this sin. We go to God in repentance for this sin. God changes us. The only reason we can do that is because Christ has made that avenue available. If you read through Hebrews, He's the high priest. He's the great mediator between God and man. Before we had no relationship, no hope. And now we have that hope. We have that relationship. We have that mediator who is the perfect, powerful mediator between God and man. And we have the dominion of sin has been broken over His children. They're no longer dead. Taking out that heart of stone, replacing it in his child with a heart of flesh, making him alive forever. We have the power of Jesus over sin, who has conquered sin and death. Also, we have the power of Jesus over His church. Albert Barnes says, "But the universe is put under Him more particularly as mediator." Now, He's speaking of the power. He's already looked at the power of the second person of the Trinity. And now He's looking at Jesus Christ. He said, "The universe is put more under Him, particularly as mediator, that He might redeem His people, that He might gather a church, that He might defend His chosen, that He might subdue all their enemies and bring them as conquerors, and yea, even more than conquerors because of Jesus." He has power over His church. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the text actually that I was beginning with. So turn there with me. We've got several verses to read. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. This displays to us in the Scripture here the mighty power of our Lord. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. All right, 16. This is Paul saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, the Ephesians, that those of Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers. Here's his prayers. Prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, God, the Father. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His, God's calling to you. And what the riches of the glory of God's inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us, toward us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. What do you think that mighty power is? That mighty power of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Because of His power, because of that sacrifice, He is working that great power even in us who believe. We have that power available to us. We'll talk about avenues that we have that power shortly. Verse 20 says, "Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And He set Him far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's a wonderful last verse, to know that we fill him as his body. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. One with him in union with Jesus Christ. It's unfathomable to know that we have a Savior who is this powerful, who has done all this for us. We have done nothing, and yet he calls us brothers. Yet he associates with us. Yet he loves us. Yet he desires his children. But we see here the power in the speaking of with many brothers and sisters. We see a lot of times more confusion in the power of Jesus in his church. We see an air of hopelessness at times, to say it plainly. Let's not think in a natural way of how the church is governed, is run, is sustained. This power that we're reading here, right here in Ephesians chapter 1, says he has been placed above all power, all might, all dominion. Everything's been put under his feet. He's the head over all things to the church. We've read about his power. If he's the head over all things of this church, what do you think the church is going to do? Do you think it's going to fail? Do you think anyone is going to be able to subdue the church? Do you think it's ever going to go away? No. There's persecution. There's a lot of persecution going on in other lands. There's persecution starting and going on in this land. Well, we've been greatly blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ to be in this land, to be able to worship, to be here today, to worship together. It's a gift, a wonderful gift. But think of the power of the church. We're not in a woe is me. It's so tough this time and this day and age. It's just, no, it's not. Christ is in control of all of it. And it's going to be sustained. It's going to go forever. And we're going to live forever in worshiping God forever as his children. Nothing is going to stop it. So the gospel will not be stopped. The gospel will continue because of the power of Jesus Christ, because of what he has accomplished, because of the power that he has. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If Jesus said it, we're going to believe it. It's not going to prevail. Issus, whatever they want to be called, is not going to prevail. Forget it. We pray for those saints. We read in the scriptures of how they were treated that day, the torment that they went through. And we have those this day that are going through that torment, that torture by this evil. But do not lose heart, because we know the end of the story. They will not prevail. It's a hopeless mission if your mission is against Christ. It's a hopeless mission if your mission is against the God of this earth. He is in control. He is all powerful. There is no power greater, period. John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jew and Gentile, one big family of Jesus' saved people. Bringing them into this fold to be one fold, one shepherd, the great shepherd. So we have the power of Jesus over his church. We also have the power of Jesus over the souls of his redeemed. When I come in, TJ's keeping up with time, because he had a bunch of watches on. I saw him. You're keeping up with my time, aren't you, buddy? But we're going to talk about, too, the power of Jesus over the souls of His redeemed. This power is given to the Father. It was and is complete. It cannot be lost. And we have a confidence that there is no evil ever coming against you that is outside of God's sovereign, merciful, caring control. Satan can tempt you, but cannot prevail against you because of Christ, because He has paid the debt, period. No evil outside of God's sovereign, merciful, caring control can come up against you. That is a great comfort. It's a great comfort to know that there truly, even in the hardest of hardest times, that we have the God who loves us, the God who will take care of us and care for us. He has the power over the souls of His redeemed. Looking at this power that He has, it's a wonderful power that we have abounding hope from. Let's look at several things now that we benefit from this, from knowing and understanding the overarching power of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, over all things. What does this enable us to do? Those who have confidence in this power, those who know this power, not just theologically, no, we can theologically know the power of Jesus. We can read the Scriptures. We can see where this power of Jesus comes from. We see the power of Jesus. But we can know it in our head, but we need to know it experimentally. You need to experience it. When you experience this power, remember, it's like the children of Israel setting up markers. Set up those markers. They set up those markers for a reason. They stacked the stones. The stones were there. They could take the children back and say, look, here, this stone is stacked here because God did this. We've got a lot of children in here. Mom and Dad, what we need to do, me included, is to say, this is what God did for your dad. This is what God did for your mom. And it was because of Jesus Christ. It wasn't because of who your daddy was. It wasn't because of who your mom was. He chose us. He pulled us out. He set us here. And He gave us everything that we have. It's because of Jesus Christ. And little ones, your hope must be in Him as well. Right now you have mom and dad to teach you these things. Mom and dad to look up to. But there'll become a time when it's going to be you and Jesus. Make sure it's you and Jesus. Look to Him. Seek Him. Ask mom and dad about Him. I'm sure they know Him. They've experienced these things with Him. They've experienced the power of Jesus Christ. So if we experience the power of Jesus Christ, what does it give us? I've got three things. It gives us many things, but I've got three for time's sake. Abounding hope. We have an abounding hope in this life because of the power of Jesus Christ and what He has changed. 1 Peter 1:19-20 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or shown to us in these last times for you, who by Him, Jesus, do believe God, believe in God, that raised Jesus Him from the dead and gave Jesus glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That is our faith and hope. An all-powerful God, an all-powerful Savior. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively, living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just to draw the contrast of no hope, living hope. Now that's the change. No hope without Him. Eternal hope with Him. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to meditate upon, what Christ has done for us. We have abounding hope, number one. Number two, we have confident praying. Like earlier in our service, we went around, we prayed for these people. It's only those who have experienced the power of Jesus Christ and know that Jesus Christ has the power to do anything. To have the faith that He can heal. To have faith that He can change people's hearts. To have faith that He can take those who are lost, just like we were at one time, and change them. Give them the heart of flesh so they come to Him in faith and repentance. If we have faith that He will do that, we can confidently pray for Him to do these things. And you always hear the argument, well, if God is sovereign, if He is all-powerful, if He's going to do what He wants to anyway, why do we pray? Right? That's the question. One of the preachers turned that around. He said, well, if He's not sovereign, why would you pray? Yeah. If you don't think He has the power to do anything that He has these powers to do, why would you pray? It's like talking to mom or dad. No. We pray because He is sovereign. We pray because we know He has the power to do all these things. That is why we have confidence in our prayer. So if we know Him, we know His power, we've experienced His power, we have abounding hope, we're confident in prayer. And we also have, number three, bold evangelism. If we go back to our original text in Matthew that we're looking at, Matthew 28, He began the Great Commission, and many times we look over this when we think of the Great Commission. We don't think of the first sentence of the Great Commission. Because the first sentence of the Great Commission tells us why the Great Commission is going to succeed. It's not going to succeed because me and you are going and doing these things. Although that's the tool, that is the way, the means by which He has declared that the gospel will go forth, and it's our duty to do those things. The power to save is the first sentence. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is why the Great Commission will succeed. That's why it cannot fail. It's why every single child of His will come to Him, and He will lose none. Because all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. So we can be bold in our evangelism. We can be bold in going forth. And it doesn't take... I've been through, you know, in some of the churches of the past, I've been through the EE, I've been through the Faith, I've been through the evangelism training, some of the canned approaches that you go and knock on the doors and you go and you go through your little spiel and you tell them the Scriptures, which all in all, it's not... If you're going and you're doing and you've got your heart in that, it's not a bad thing. It's fine. Let's go. Let's evangelize. Let's tell people of Jesus Christ. Let's make His name known. That should be our desire, that the fame of the name of Jesus goes throughout the whole world. And it starts in our community. It starts in our family. Our little ones have to know the name of Jesus is not just a name. It is the name above all names. Bold evangelism. So we can go, we can just share. That's the thing. You know, when I was younger, I got to know what to say. I got to know how to answer every answer. I got to have all this together. I got to know which Scripture to go to. The thing is, I've learned, if you'll just go up to someone and tell them what Jesus has done for you, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do in breaking someone down in front of you. It is amazing. It's the all power of heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. It's not in our words. Paul will tell you that. The Apostle Paul said, I don't come to you with great wisdom and words of men. What did he say he come to him with? The power of God. That's what we're sent with. Do you think, when you go, do you think of that? You have the power of God on your shoulder. Do you have the power of God there with you? Do you think, can you fathom that? I can't hardly fathom that we, you know, the weak people, the weak person that I am, the shy person many times that I am, when I go and, you know, do I witness, do I not witness, do I say this, do I not say this, and I'm timid many times, but for goodness gracious, man, you got the power of God on your shoulders. be bold in evangelism. We can go and we can tell them, yeah, we'll get rejection. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the power to save, the power of God over all salvation. And if God changes that heart, they'll change. Just as He would change anyone. Bold evangelism. We can go, we can teach, we can preach, we can share with boldness because all power has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Last thing, who can separate us from the power of Jesus Christ? Can we be separated from this power? Well, that's easy. Romans 8, 35 through 39. We're told, exactly. Paul, in writing this section, says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know why I can say that, right? Because all power has been given to Him in all heaven and in all earth. And nothing will separate us from His love. Jesus has conquered death. And in all these things, we are more than conquerors because He has conquered. It's a wonderful thing to really meditate upon. I know it's really a general topic, sort of, isn't it? Sort of something that's generally you think about these things, but to be able to come here and to worship Him, to know His power, to think on His power, and to take this power this week to enable you to do things that you may not have thought of doing before, because you have the power of God with you. If you're His child, you can do all things through Him. With us, you know, there's a lot of impossible things. But with Him, you know, nothing is impossible. The hardest heart can be changed. The worst disease can be healed. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. I love it when some of those songs come out that this is part of the message. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And this coming week, as we work to glorify Him in our lives and what we do, and all our failures and all the things we come short of, we'll look to Him for strength to prod on, to work on, to do His work, to do His will. That He may be glorified, that His name be known among our families, among our community, and among the people. And we can go boldly because all powers have been given to Him in heaven and in earth. That is our Jesus, the name above all names. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one who will keep us. He's the one we love. That's why we love Him. Let's pray. And gracious Heavenly Father, words fail simple-minded preacher to bring forth how glorious, unfathomable Your power is and Your love is for Your people.
A love we cannot comprehend. A love we do not completely understand. But one we are so thankful for. Lord God, that You love us. That You keep us. We thank You, Lord, for Your message, for Your word, that we're able to open it up and share with each other this morning. Meditate upon these wonderful, glorious things. To know, Lord, that You are all-powerful and in control of all things from the start to the finish. And when our life here is finished, or You return, and we're living together in heaven, enjoying fellowship, it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, dear Lord. We ask, Lord, that You give us foresight into looking into that as we work on this earth, as we wait to do Your will, to do Your glory, as we have time, that Your name may be known among the nations. We ask Your blessings upon this precious people, this precious congregation, precious brother, that You would all bless them all and keep them all this coming week. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.